You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
It's a dark day in Israel. The kingdom is divided and war has become a way of life. And that's where we pick up today in our study of 1 Kings on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and in just a few minutes, Dr. J. Vernon McGee will take us through the sordid history of Israel and Judah in the generations that follow Solomon. It'll be honest, and it isn't pretty, but it is fascinating. So, as you find your seat on the Bible bus, Greg and I want to talk to you a little bit about what are some of our core values are for the ministry with a little bit of a different spin on it, on how it benefits you.
Yeah. And Steve, just as a setup, we don't stand on much ceremony. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I was telling you, my wife and I were actually in the car listening to you and me, and she said, boy, you guys just sound really relaxed, like you're having a great time. And I said,
yeah,
well, we are.
It's true.
But it is it's appropriate for you to know, in case maybe you don't tune in every day or you're a new listener. Steve is the chairman of the board. I'm the president. So the things we're sharing with you are coming from the top leadership of Through the Bible. And they're the real conversations that we have about what we care about and how our philosophy guides our choices as ministry leaders. So what do you want to focus on today?
Well, just in terms of core values, we really do value the listener that's listening to our U.S. program, U.S. and Canada, the English program. And that's why we really always love to place a priority on prayer. It's a benefit to you. It's a benefit to this ministry. We run on prayer.
Yeah.
But you are going to be blessed by praying for the ministry of Through the Bible. I can guarantee it. You join our world prayer team by going to ttb.org/pray, and you're going to get that daily email, and you will see how God is moving around the world, which is another benefit, I think, and core value that we want to be able to share with our listeners. And that is, you know, you may not be in a church that's experiencing massive growth, or you may not be in a community where there's revival that's happening, where you see the Holy Spirit just change people's lives. But let me tell you, there are things happening in places where Through the Bible is a part of around the world that are just so exciting. I mean, you think about 20,000 home groups in the difficult place of India and Pakistan and places like that. The growth of the church and how Through the Bible is being able to play a part in that. And by extension, you are being a part of that because you're praying for the ministry.
Yeah, this is so important. And I appreciate that you're highlighting. We really do care about when we call you a listening family, because we see it that way. And if you contact this ministry, you know, your email is not going to get shunted away, or your letter. We read all the letters. We read all the emails. We have a very, very small staff, but we put a great premium on your concerns and the way that we can serve you with Bible study resources. And as you just said, with a real opportunity to minister. Remember a couple of months ago, we read a letter from a guy that said, I serve on the World
Prayer
Team. I love that.
Yeah, I love it as well. And really, from my perspective, as Greg mentioned, I'm chairman of the board, but I'm also a volunteer. I'm also a supporter. I'm a member of the World Prayer Team, and I'm going through the Bible with you guys, and I know how blessed I am, and by extension, I'm sure if you're listening intently, if you're reading the scripture before the study, if you're able to stop your car, whatever you're doing, open your Bible and go through it with Dr. McGee, you're going to understand your Bible better. You are going to have a better relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every time you go through this thing. 5 years on, 5 years off. If you miss a couple days, no big deal. That's what grace is about. A previous listener said that.
Yeah.
Just jump back on the Bible bus. It stops by your corner. Now, it used to be, on this radio station at this specific time. Yeah, we still do that, but you can consume the media at your time, at your speed, at your pleasure.
Yeah, and you can go back and listen to something that you want to hear Dr. McGee say again. It's amazing. We're living in amazing times. But all of the things that we do, and we want to say this as honestly as we can from our heart, we are just trying to, first of all, serve God by getting his word out to the whole world. But we want to serve you. There's never an ulterior motive. There's never what I call a bait and switch. Another value is we don't do anything that is traditionally known as fundraising. We don't really ask. Once in a while, we remind people.
Right. We don't do any of the smart stuff.
Right. Exactly. It's not what the smart people do, which is what Steve likes to point out. For example, recently I was on a call with a lady. I found out she's a believer. Started telling her about through the Bible. She didn't know about it. She signed up for the World Prayer Team. I had a call with her a week later. She said, oh, man, every day I get into my email box, like you say, and I'm kind of down, and then I read those stories, and it just lifts my vision. So everything we're doing, we really do want to serve you and your growth as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, such an encouragement. Greg, why don't you go ahead and pray for us as we continue our study?
Father, we are just humbled and grateful that you give us your word, and then you give us so much richness in that experience, and then you invite us to come and pray and then to serve. And all of those things are such a blessing, and I thank you for the worldwide family of Through the Bible and the listeners and the people that love and support this ministry. We pray you'll bless all of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee as he leads us through the Bible.
Now, friends, we feel like we do need the double portion of the Spirit of God on us through this section here. And I hope you have our notes and outlines. And we left off last time here in the 14th chapter, where we are told in verse 30, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Now, Rehoboam was a son of Solomon, and he reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. And Jeroboam was the one who led a rebellion of the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes that's called Israel and Samaria, and he reigned in the north. And there was civil war between the two kingdoms. As we've indicated before, this led to a bitter civil war with brother fighting brother, and there's nothing quite as bad as that. Now, we also called attention to the fact that none of these kings that we've had so far have been good kings. In fact, there's not a good king in Israel, the northern kingdom, and there are very few, a half a dozen good ones in the southern kingdom of Judah, in the line of David. Now, we find that after the death of Rehoboam, that his son Abijah, or Abijam as it is here, comes to the throne. And we read in verse 1 now of chapter 15 of 1 Kings. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, and she is the daughter of Abishalom. And this is something that's quite interesting, and you will find it all the way through this section. Every time a king is mentioned, why, you'll find out his mother's mentioned. And that's unusual. Generally, we're told who his father was, that he succeeded, but here the mother is given. And again, that's unusual. Now, why is that given? Well, I have a suggestion to make to you. The mother had a great deal to do in influencing the life of the boy. And my position here is, and it's my judgment, that the reason God recorded the name of the mother along with the king, he's a bad king, she's partially responsible. He's a good king, she's partially responsible. She has to accept responsibility for him. And today, I feel like we are living in a time when a great deal of condemnation and judgment is made against these kids that have become hippies and that sort of thing. And I recognize that sometimes out of a Christian home, why, the trouble arises. But generally, there's a background for it. And ordinarily, these kids have a mother. Most of them do, you know. And the mother is partially responsible. You can't escape it, friend. Now, I know that this cuts very deep and very hard. We today need to recognize that mother has had an opportunity of influence on the little one. And if a little one has grown up to feel neglected and unwanted and unloved, maybe mother ought to stop and think. And instead of trying to be president of the Missionary Society and singing in the choir and trying to do everything in the church, it might be nice to stay home some evening Take the little one up in your arms and just love him. And just let him know how much you really appreciate him. That is something that I think is being neglected in our day. The biggest problem that most young couples have today is finding a babysitter. May I say to you, we need, I think today, a little bit more mother sitters that take little Willie or little Susie in their arms and spend a lot of time loving him. It takes a lot of loving, friends, to bring a child up today. This is something that's very important. Now, I take time out for this because, very candidly here, it'll occur again and again. Every time we have a bad king, his mama's name is given to us. I think God was trying to tell us something. And if he's a good king, her name's given also. She'll get credit for that. And I just wouldn't want to be the mother of some of these rascals that we're going to find here in Scripture. I think it disturbed me a great deal to have been the mother of some of them. Somebody said, well, you can't be the mother. Of course I can, but I sure hate to be. All right, now let's move on. We're told here in verse 3, now what about this man Abijam? Well, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he'd done before. He followed his father, too. Papa's to blame also. Papa set the example. Wasn't a very good home Abijam was brought up in, but he's a lousy, rotten, corrupt king. And father and mother are responsible to a certain degree. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Now you see, David becomes the standard. It's a human standard. But it's also a standard that God accepted. And why did God accept him? Because of his sin? No. That was the black spot. Now, God says in verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Now, the line of David, friends, never ended until you come to Jesus Christ. And it ended there. The line of David, you can't follow it after that. But here you can. God says, I won't let the lamp go out until the fulfillment of my covenant I made with David, that there would come one to sit on his throne that would rule the world. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look here at David. Verse 5, what God says about him. And friends, after all, if we're going to be fair with judging God, and I think that little man is in no position to sit in judgment on God, but we do it nonetheless. You're going to judge God about his relationship with David. Let's understand what God really said about David and David's assets and his liabilities. Now, God lists them here. Verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Now, somebody says, wait a minute, but that black spot, God's recording it, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's the black spot. Now, beside that, David obeyed God. Now, David didn't live in sin. David didn't live in sin. King of Babylon did. What David did one time, King of Babylon did every day. It was the weekend practice of the king of Egypt to do the thing David did one time. And the whole thought is expressed by our Lord in the parable of the prodigal son. Friends, the son can get in the pig pen. We need to recognize that today. God's child can get in the pig pen, but by the same token, you can say the child of God will not stay in the pig pen. Now, why won't he? The reason is obvious. He's a son of the Father. He's not a pig. Pigs live in pig pens. Sons want to live in the Father's house. And my friend, if you want to live in a pig pen, that's where you belong. And that tells who you are. But if you've got in a pig pen and you have a desire in your heart and cry out to God, you want to come home, he's going to take you home. He'll receive you. Now, David did wrong, but David confessed his sin. And David obeyed God in everything else. And I think that it behooves us to be very careful about criticizing David. David's a great man, friend. You and I, not worthy, I think, to Well, I'm not to tie his shoestring. He's a great man of God. And he becomes now the standard, an earthly standard to be sure. Now again in verse 6, we're told this. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. This was a time of civil strife. It was a time when brother was fighting brother. And it weakened the kingdom, of course. Now we're told the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? That was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And this is it. He did nothing outstanding except evil. He was a bad king. Verse 8, and Abijam slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we've come to the first good king, and you feel like saying, hallelujah, we've found a good king, and this is Asa. And Abijam slept with his father, and Asa's son reigned in his stead. Now in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Now you can see that we have here an overlapping of 2 years. That is, Asa reigned here, and during this period, Jeroboam had his last 2 years. Now we're told, in 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he had one of the longest reigns of any king. And his mother's name was Maacah. And isn't that interesting? Asa is a good king, and his mother's name was Maacah. And that means that she gets credit here in a very wonderful way because of this. And we are told that she was the daughter of Abishalom. These things are very important. Notice verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. David, again, is the standard of either right or wrong, and this man measured up to David. Now, what did he do? He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Now, he just didn't go for the idea that we're to be soft on homosexual. Asa was opposed to him. May I say to you, any nation that has dropped to this low level as we've dropped to today, and it's not a mark of being civilized, it's a mark of gross degradation, and we are going down as a nation. God gives up any people that has a permissive society in this connection. Now, I really do sound like a square in this day, do I not? But somebody's going to have to talk out against this today. This is something that we need to recognize as sin today, and that it's as rotten and corrupt and depraved and degraded as man can become. You can't go any lower than this. When a man goes to this level, God gives him up. And our society is moving that way today. Old Asa dealt with it. He's called a good king. And we need today to recognize that God hasn't changed his mind in this connection. Now we find that Asa made war against Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. It's continual civil war. Now we're told that Asa did other things. He had to appease a kingdom rising in the north, now that was becoming dominant, and that was Syria. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, certain of the gold and silver in order to appease him. This was to keep him from invading his kingdom. And he made a league with him, which I think could be said to be the one thing he did that was wrong. And we're told that in verse 22, then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had built it, and King Asa built with them Geba, Benjamin, and Mizpah. And this is all for protection, of course. Now all the rest of the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, why, they are written in the book of Chronicles. And then we're told Asa slept with his father, buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And by the way, Jehoshaphat is another good king, as we shall see. Now, we come back to the son of Jeroboam, and he reigned over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. He reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. And we find that there was a great deal of intrigue in the northern kingdom, and we're told that Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And then he became king. And then you would think that maybe along the line somewhere that there would be peace, but there was not. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. This was continual civil war, which depleted the energy and the resources of both of the kingdoms and made them subject to the powers that were round about them, and they were invaded again and again by Egypt in the south, by Syria, and then finally Assyria in the north. Now we find that this man Baasha reigned longer than any other king in the north up to this point. He reigned 24 years, and we're told that this man is to be put down because he did evil. And we're told that him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. This was a sad period in the life of the kingdom. Now we're told that when he died, that what happened, that Elah, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And then we're told that he hadn't reigned but 2 years till his captain, Zimri, led a rebellion against him. He conspired against him. These conspirators in the northern kingdom, no man was safe up there. And when this man got drunk, why, Zimri went in, smote him, killed him in the 20th and 7th year of Asa, king of Judah. And so Zimri began to reign. He didn't last very long either. He lasted 7 days. And then they got rid of him, by the way. And again, another rebellion. And there was conspiracy against him. And then we're told that after him, Omri. He went up to Gibbethon, all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died. These are dark days, as you can see, for the kingdom, and darker days are yet to come. Then we are told that not only was there this conspiracy of Omri, but he had a rival, and Tibni also claimed to be king. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed. And then Omri put to death Tibni, and then Omri reigned. Now he reigned over Israel, and he wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all that were before him. He exceeded the others. That's in verse 25. And now he has a son. And here's where we're going to begin next time. Omri, verse 28, slept with his fathers. He was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And we're told in verse 30, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This man, Ahab, he's the worst one of all. And he had a wife that really helped him. She was a real helpmeet in the area of evil. What he didn't think of, she thought of. And what she didn't think of, nobody could think of. She's a mean woman. And we're going to be talking about her next time. But God had a man there, and the right kind of a man, and it was Elijah. We're going to come now to what I believe is one of the great sections of the Word of God. Until next time, friends, may God richly bless you.
Well, that's a great invitation to join us for our next study. Meet us here as the story of God's people continues and we're introduced to a bold prophet named Elijah. And until then, you can reach out to us at ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I got you a seat saved right here on the Bible Bus for next time.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. In the name of Jesus, I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. And our service time starts at 11 o'clock every Sunday. Come and be blessed by hearing the word of God today. Now stay tuned.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Are you staying tuned out there? We thank God for this glorious opportunity, as I've often said once again. And we love you. We thank the Lord for everything that he's doing. He woke you up this morning and he allowed you to see this wonderful day. And we just thank him for it, because he blesses us from the rising up in the morning until the going down of the same in the evening time. So we thank the Lord for that. I want to get into the word of God today. I want to, first of all, pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there. Everyone that tuned into the broadcast, I don't know who you are, but I do know that you've tuned in to the broadcast, because this word is so precious, and we all need to hold on to the engrafted word of God, place it in our hearts, and thank him for everything. And there are many people today, as we know, some of us and not known, that they are going through trials and challenges and tribulation and all kinds of things that are attacking them. But we know that God is good, and his love and mercy endureth forever. But I want to tell you today that he loves you. Listen to the prayer that's been placed in the heart of his servant. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. You the answer to all man's dilemmas, all man's problems. And Father, I pray for my radio listeners, my faith partners, even those that have backslid, that have gone, turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the coppersmith turned and went away and did many things against Apostle Paul. But Paul said that God will handle that situation. There's no reason for any of us today to hold anything against anyone but to pray for them. And I thank the Lord today that you've touched hearts right now, Lord, and you'll be the deliverer, and you'll be the one that will judge the secrets of men's heart. So, Father, I thank you for each and every person that tuned into the broadcast, that they will be blessed. They will grab your word. Not only will be just a hearer of what's being said, but a doer, and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at the suffering Messiah. It is so important that we continuously stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, because whatever problem that you have, God can solve it and will solve it and has solved it if you can truly believe what he said in his word. So come to Jesus if there's a situation in your life. Don't try to handle it yourself, because you cannot handle it. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only one that deserves the honor and the glory, the exaltation, the praise, and everything that we could think of, because he is the problem solver. And whatever you may be going through today, some may have runaway children, some may have children that are incarcerated, whatever the problem is, Don't try to fix it, because you cannot fix it. The only one that can fix it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He judges the secret of men's heart. He is able to draw and to bring those, as he said in his word, that if he is lifted up, that he'll draw all men unto him. Praise God. And we know the reason why he said that, because of him being lifted up there on Calvary's cross. But I tell you today that no matter what it is, keep your mind and heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering Messiah, the one that has done it all. I said the one that has done it all. Keep your focus on Jesus and not on the circumstances. And many of us today, the circumstances at some point in time seems to be larger or bigger than our God. But I want to tell you, our God is bigger than the circumstances. When we magnify the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you've carried it all, you've done it all, and I'm going to give it all to you because you're the one that's able to change the situation and the circumstances in all of our lives. Praise God. Well, the suffering Messiah. Isaiah was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I ask today, who has believed our report? Listen to what he's saying here. He didn't say who believed the report. No, this is past tense. He said, who has believed our report? Praise God. Have you believed the report of the Lord? Amen. If you believe the report of the Lord Jesus Christ, then my God, Isaiah, looking through the tunnel of time, seeing the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's asking the question, well, who? We've explained everything. Isaiah was the eagle-eyed prophet, praise God. And he was the one, and he's telling you, me, and all that will hear and take notice of what is being said. The question is, who has believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? My God, I tell you, when I think about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah is looking forward, and I want to tell you, but right here, right now, I ask the question to everyone that is tuned into the broadcast. Glory to God, the one that says, Lord Jesus. You know, many of us, we're shouting and we're just saying Jesus. But if we don't believe and stay focused on him and him alone, that breaks the yokes of selfishness and the yokes of bondages and everything that's in all of our lives, we will miss what he's saying. So let's look at what it says. So come on now, let's go to church.
Amen.
And look at what the word, Minister Glory, would you read that? Glory to God. Isaiah 53, glory to God. First of all, we look at the first verse there, glory to God, and we're going to come on down line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Now, we're going to be grabbing from other books in the Bible here, but we want to let you see the focus of the one that has done it all. This is why we say, Lord, I surrender all. In other words, all to him that I owe. Glory to God. So we give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes the circumstances, the problems, situations, whatever it is that have developed in your life that came from the enemy. Let me tell you, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only what I'm telling you that is a fulfillment. No, there are many other things that the word of God says that we can build on it and receive it, because this word is all powerful. And the question was asked, who has believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? Please take notice. Stay focused. The one that is able to do all things. So, Minister Glory, let us satisfy the radio listeners out there with the truth of God's word, understanding that Prophet Isaiah is looking forward, realizing through and by the revelation of God Almighty, that has been given to him, that he's given us this understanding. And when we look at the future of what he's saying, we only can see the one that's able to do all things, the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging there on Calvary's cross, suffering. He's suffering for you and I. He went to Calvary's cross. He didn't go there because he didn't have anything else to do. He didn't go there because he was a sinner. He went there and he took your sins. So this is the most important thing here, is to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, all will be well. Praise God.
In Isaiah 53:2, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted."
But listen. Look at the things that he suffered, the suffering Messiah. All the things that he went through. The prophet Isaiah explains it to us. Look at what took place there. He did it for you. I said the suffering Messiah. He is the Messiah. My God, we look to him. Praise God. But Isaiah was pointing toward the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The time has not yet came, but what is happening is that he's futurizing the whole matter of the suffering Messiah. This is why it's so important that we stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we bring both together, Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, and the revelation that God gave him, and then when we see it under the new covenant, we see Apostle Peter looking back after the resurrection. But who do they see? They see the suffering Messiah.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, suspended between two thieves. My God, can you really understand what he did? Isaiah is just giving us a taste of what actually took place. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered. He bore our griefs and sorrows. My God, he was smitten and beard plucked and a crown of thorns placed upon his head and nails driven in his hand and in his feet and a sword pierced him in his side and his precious blood shed there on Calvary's cross. I ask today, Isaiah asks today, who has relieved our report? That's the only report that we can give you, glory to God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung there on Calvary's cross between two thieves, bringing forth deliverance to each and every one of us who would believe and trust in him and receive him as the Messiah, as the Savior, glory to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was wounded.
Hallelujah.
Keep in mind, the prophet Isaiah is telling us, but he was wounded for our transgression. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, with what he suffered, we are healed. Can you understand that? Glory to God. What Jesus went through, not what problems that we may have, but what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, we are healed.
Amen.
I said we are healed.
Amen.
Glory to God. And many people argue about whether it's spiritual healing or it's physical healing. Well, I want to tell you the Word of God tells me that, but we are healed. So you take it whatever way that you want to take it. All I agree with is that we are healed. And if we are healed, glory to God, which the Scripture tells us that, then you receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Minister Glory, you know, when all of the things that you were reading there in terms of what Isaiah was talking about, that he was smitten and he bore our griefs and sorrow. Otherwise, that pain, that everything that he went through, he did it for us.
Praise God.
He did it for us. And we must be mindful that Isaiah is looking through the tunnel of time. Amen. He's looking through the tunnel of time. You know, and it took years before the prophecy and the word that Isaiah is telling us was fulfilled. Because what happened is that it took a lot, but God Almighty gave him the revelation. The revelation to tell us about there was one that's coming. Glory to God. The suffering Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming. And this is why when Apostle Peter, my God, when he began to look back, and he tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 there, glory to God. I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would just read that, because what's happening that the two, Isaiah looking forward and Peter is looking back. Isaiah is looking before the resurrection. Peter's looking back after the resurrection. But who do they see? This is why the report is so important. Glory to God. I said the report is so important. What Christ has done for us all. And many people today are missing the whole picture concerning the suffering Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was. It was none other than Jesus. None other but Jesus. And this is why our focus, no matter who you are, no matter how many Bible schools you've gone to, no matter how many collars that you have turned around on your neck, no matter how many long religious cross that you're wearing around your neck, let me tell you something. The focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. And ho kobo shekele bocha, and only Jesus. Oh, my God, I feel this thing coming up in me. Glory to God. I want to try to contain myself while I'm on the air here, because this is teaching of the suffering. Oh, glory to God, the suffering Messiah. Praise God. Minister Glory, read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, and let's see the when the two look together, one forward, the other one is backwards, and we see who? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Praise God. And if you were healed, then you are healed. So we're not talking just specifically about healing. I'm speaking about a conglomerate of things that the suffering Messiah did. Glory to God. When he came into this earth realm, praise God, he divested himself of his royal diadem and came into this earth realm, praise God, to bring forth deliverance and healing, salvation for all humanity. That's why our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God tells us that God laid the iniquities of us all on him. Amen. My God, he did it for you and he did it for me. And so many of us are just walking around with a nonchalant attitude. They're not even thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. But one day, I said one day, everybody's going to stand before God, and everybody's going to tell their story. Glory to God. And I want to let you know, you cannot deceive God. You cannot hoodwink God. God knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows why you didn't do what should have been done. And he knows all about you. So when you stand there and tell him the story, he'll have the last word. Glory to God. I said he will have the last word.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
And I pray to God that all of our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Our focus is on Jesus.
Yes.
And only on Jesus. Glory to God. Because he and he alone endured the cross. I said he endured the cross. And many people say today, you hear some folks talking about, well, the cross is symbolic of some defeated person. But let me tell you something. I don't even answer something of that nature. Because the cross does not symbolize any form of defeat. It is the glory that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for you and me. Minister Gloria, I want to tell you there are folks today that their sins are forgiven.
Amen.
And they still don't believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. Matter of fact, I want you to read in 1 John 2, glory to God, in verse 2, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You see, the whole thing is that in the whole world, the world don't care nothing about what's going on. They're going their own way. But I want to tell you today that the only one that deserves the glory, the praise, and the honor, my God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the cross and despised the shame. I said he endured the cross and despised the shame. And is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's done it for you and for me. We offer a sacrifice of praise unto our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one, glory to God, must be in the view of our decisions and everything that we must think of doing, glory to God, because he is the one. Minister Gloria, read that 1 John 2 and verse 2. And let everybody out there know that, listen, that Jesus, and only Jesus, died for your sins.
And he, which is Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Praise God. Not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So the sin factor has been dealt with, and folks don't even know it. And it's a shame when you stand before God, if you happen to exit this natural world here, and your sins have already been forgiven, and you have not known it or received Jesus. My God, what a tragedy. Oh, glory to God, you stand there, and you will regret what you've heard. That Jesus died for your sins, the suffering Messiah, the one that came into the world and died for your sins. My God, Minister Gloria, he suffered for all of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is why we must tell everybody,
yes,
about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
Not about what I'm able to do, but what Jesus has done. Because the scriptures tells us that our focus must be on him. Isaiah's telling us that he's the suffering Messiah. Peter's telling us that he bore our griefs and sorrows, our sins. And by his stripes we are healed. And I'm telling you that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. He is the one that has done it all. The word tells us that he endured the cross. I said he endured the cross. He did it for you, and he did it for me. Jesus never sinned. I said he never sinned, but he became a sin offering for you and for me so that we might be made the righteousness of God. I want to tell you today, oh, I cannot even explain everything that took place there on the cross of Calvary and what my Lord and Savior Jesus went through for you and for me. Praise God. For the joy that was set before him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. What was the shame? Can you imagine that he and he alone being crucified between two thieves? He wasn't a criminal. He was God's lamb that John said in St. John 1:29 that when he was baptizing in the River Jordan, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, they're coming to take away the sin of the world." My God, the suffering Messiah. I don't have enough words to even explain concerning what Jesus went through for you and I. And you think that I'm going to sit around and not tell folks about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus, all I can say is, Jesus, stay focused on Jesus. Amen. Let him be the focus of your reality. Glory to God. I see that our time has slipped away. We got to get out of here. But before we do, I want to have Minister Glory to just extend this divine plan of salvation for all out there in Radio Land, so that one day when you exit this earth realm, you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. I want to tell you, while we are here, he is with us. And when we go there, we'll be with him. But nevertheless, we'll all be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I praise you all out there for in Radio Land there for listening to this broadcast. It's so much to say, so little time to do it. But remember, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Lord, the one that came and died for your sins. Receive him today in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.